Welcome to MDT Academy. I'm Tammy Taylor, your manifestation muse. Empaths don't just have the mother wound. Empaths have mama drama trauma. This is where we learn how to live in loving detachment. To the All About Empath series. In this second part of the double session about the 8 primary challenges of nudging out negative self-talk, we are going in on the shadows and the shadow work of trusting our intuitive downloads. But first, what is negative self-talk? It's the antithesis of the divinity identity mantra. All together now, the mantra Great Mother gave us as empaths with the mother wound is, I am a dearly loved divine child of the Great Mother Father God, who is never judged, condemned, or left alone. We know there are consequences for our actions, but we are never judged, condemned, or left alone as a result of them. We always have our angels, guides, and ancestors, Great Mother's spirit team, to support our evolutionary and healing journey. Part one of nudging out negative self-talk was everything we need to get past to clearly read, balance, and confirm our intuitive as opposed to our conditioned inner voice. I elaborated on the root cause of our negative self-talk: rage. That suppressed anger that causes ego soul dissonance, energetic rupture at the heart, the ego soul crossroads. We are connected to our intuitive voice. Not owning up to and living according to it is enraging. Now, mama drama trauma is oiled, conditioned, and fueled by shame, blame, and guilt that keeps us in a toxic soup of dis-ease, discomfort, and dejection, which we perpetuate by unknowingly projecting our maternal needs, that protection, that provision of care, that maternal presence. We project those needs onto others, regenerating the multi-generational cycle of that expectation rejection loop. This desire attachment transferred onto what we call here other mothers, adoptive, surrogate. They could even be teachers, neighbors, co-workers, lovers, our own children, anyone to give us those maternal needs that there is a deep void within us, especially as empaths. And so without this awareness, this unevolved cycle is focused on that maternal survival instinct for emotional connection without challenging how healthy it is or examining why it may be or what we can do to course correct. So part one was all about course correcting that toxic conditioning. Because as empaths, we have the ability to do just that. Whether or not we will is based on our readiness and willingness to do it. here at MDT Academy, that's what we're all about. We are ready, able, and willing. We are sick and tired of being sick and tired, so we know we're ready. As empaths, we know we are equipped with the consideration, care, and compassion to be ready and have done enough inner work to know the benefits of doing the inner work. And we're willing to double down with the daily practice of living in loving detachment from mama, the drama, and the trauma, so we can live beyond MDT and do the karma yoga, that service to humanity we came here to do. And we all intuitively know that we have gifts, talents, and abilities that are bursting within us that we are just anxious to give. And that is why we leapfrog from our healing to giving so much. That's why we disregard and suppress how we feel so much, because we're so excited about sharing our gifts. But we must go and we must deal and we must heal in divine order. So if it's useful to you, if you are ready, if you are able, if you are willing, and this is your first time here, or you haven't gotten your mama drama trauma healing oracle deck, well, that is what you are needing to do. If you don't already have a practical daily practice, okay, to reverse the loss of power, to receive reliable intuition that we need to live in loving detachment with a meaningful and joyful service orientation. That clarity, balance, and confirmation we receive from any and all inquiries we have and we receive from Great Mother's messages. Today's question to Great Mother is, how do we know when we receive an intuitive download? How do we know that it's an intuitive download and it's not an emotional response or reaction to something? Great Mother, how do we know when we receive an intuitive download? Is our question for today. But as always, before we receive our message, and it is a quite interesting one, I must say, we define our terms and we cover the main points of the shadows and the shadow work to trusting our downloads. What is that all about? Because last section in course correcting toxic cognitive conditioning, we went from those 8 primary challenges to nudging negative self-talk out in the first 4. And we balance it out today with the final 4. Those first 4 were in the lunar phases of the down-low balsamic moon, where we are talking about the 6 suits: aspire, A for acknowledge, S for self-inquiry, P for processing, I for integrity. This is the release process, you know, the grieving process. There's denial, and then, you know, there's the bargaining, and then there's the, you know, the anger and the depression and the acceptance. This is the reverse, okay? Acknowledgement is the release of denial. And so we talked about this ego emotion in the first 4 challenges, that root chakra, dark moon, new moon, shadow in energy, that sacral chakra, that crescent moon, seated maternal message energy, the gut chakra, first quarter moon, difficult decision moon energy, with processing all those emotions and that cognitive dissonance we have to make a decision to release that dis-ease between the conflict between mama drama trauma and our core belief in our divinity identity as empaths. And of course, that heart chakra waxing moon truth we must seek and discover to trust our intuitive downloads enough to heal ourselves. That's where we left off. So if you're just joining us, welcome and check out part one for that. Moving on to part two, we get into the heart and soul of the matter of nudging out negative self-talk, the shadows and shadow work of trusting our downloads. What is trust? Self-trust is intrinsic to intuitive trust. It's essential. We're receiving reliable downloads. We have to believe that we're capable of doing that. And so course correcting toxic cognitive conditioning is what that self-trust piece is all about. Now, what are downloads? Moving into that, like digital uploads and downloads of media, apps, PDF files, et cetera, whatever. The ego uploads emotion to the soul, and the soul downloads intuition to the ego. That's how that internal communication takes place. So when we're talking about the shadow, what we do not or do not want to see. Carl Jung, psychoanalyst, coined this term, and that meaning he gave for the shadow was an unconscious aspect of the personality that does not correspond with the ego ideal. Now, we know the ego is our biography. I am Tammy Taylor from Kansas. I grew up and went to college, and I did, you know, that's our ego, our story. And so this idea of who we are, the personality, leads the ego to resist and project the shadow, what does not agree with that story, onto other things or out of its mind completely, which leads to an internal conflict. Who am I? It is the self's emotional blind spot, that part that the ego does not want to acknowledge and is projected onto stereotypes, archetypes, metaphorical things. You know, our imagination is very powerful. Any type of sense imaging that we do, these complexes we develop because of this internal battle between our soul and our ego personalities. And of course, the soul is so much stronger because it animates the ego. And so this is where the empathic abilities come into play and where we're learning how to distinguish between the two, because we get caught up with the mother wound in the collective unconscious in unhealthy ways. We are very much manipulated because our imagination runs rampant in the collective of the material as opposed to the divine unconscious unified field where we are empowered. So I know that's quite a bit, but we want to just basically understand that when we talk about the shadow and negative self-talk, we may not recognize it if it's something we identify with. If we've been conditioned to believe that because ABC, we are not or we cannot be XYZ, well, then that's what we're going to identify with. We're going to believe. We're going to trust. Okay? Truth and trust is possible for us. And so we really want to recognize that our shadow is something we likely do not see or recognize, which is why rage is the root of negative self-talk, because what we do recognize is what we came in this lifetime with, and that is a soul full of love, full of compassion, full of empathy. And because of the maternal neglect, rejection, and dejection, in order to survive in this material world, we used our internal resources to do that, as opposed to affirming that divinity. And so that's what we're doing here. That conditioning, that maternal milieu, sets up the protocol, the rule system, the social cultural mores, the spiritual impetus and aspiration that we operate from. So it's very difficult for us, because how MDT works is by instilling negative self-talk. It doesn't work otherwise. Why would you soul dissociate if you're safe, if you are affirmed, if you are encouraged in your senses, your sensibilities, and the things that you have to share and your observations are respected? Why would you be traumatized? You wouldn't. Okay? But yet recognizing that trauma has everything to do with looking at how we are naturally compliant with this negativity and people pleasing and wanting to align with others, because we feel so isolated and alienated. We just want some emotional connection. And so the standards and the self-esteem being extremely low. So we want to restore, to reaffirm, to reclaim our core belief in our divinity identity. And the unified field, the unity of souls, having our spiritual independence, having our sense of self-love, which is the soul contract of MDT. But without understanding that our neurological sensitivity, or rather lack thereof, of the defensive filters of younger souls, we trust too easily in the material realm. It is not the realm that is manifesting the reality, capital R, of divinity. It is a realm where we are learning how to manage and balance the realities through experience, to gain wisdom. And so we have to take responsibility for that. Not knowing this is a great strength, this sensitivity, this divinity identity, as opposed to identifying with MDT for survival. Not knowing that who we are and how we are is a great strength, instead of the weakness we are conditioned to believe it is. Mother wound empaths suffer our high sensitivity in silence the most. You know, 20% of the population is highly sensitive. We are the subset that are the highest in our sensitivity, and those of us with the mother wound suffer our sensitivity the most. That's what we were discussing, and that hypersensitivity being healed by our high sensitivity once we claim it, once we own it. But until we do, MDT is active and it's operating, okay? We may grieve our mother and the lack of the maternal care that we need our entire lives, but we eventually heal and we move on from the dysregulation, the constant triggering. And when we're no longer triggered, that's when we're healed. You know, you can be healed from a broken leg in a car crash, but you still have to go around in a wheelchair. You know what I'm saying? So that's what we're talking about. Okay, and so let's get into it. We know mama may sense we are not receiving the three P's, and this has to be said. this has nothing to do 100% with ill will or such a negative intent toward child. These are cycles we're talking about. These are generational behaviors that are instilled generationally. And we want to recognize that although our mothers may or may not recognize we're not getting everything that we need, they didn't get everything that they needed. You know, and so it's not such a personal thing with empaths. And we want to realize that if she had no idea of the kind of maternal consideration, care, and compassion we needed, that is not a, what do they call it when you, that's not a, before you get convicted, you get arraigned. That's not an indictment. You get arraigned, indictment, then convicted if you're guilty. Right. That's not an indictment of a bad mother even, you know? So we have all these definitions that we're working with. A good mother sacrifices herself for her child. Bad mother sacrifices her child for herself. The great mother cultivates the divinity within the child to serve itself and others. So this has nothing to do with, you know, evil intent. That must be said. What we do know for sure is that when we are ready, able, and willing to provide our own sense of presence, our own sense of protection, and our own provision of care to ourselves, then we are on path. And that is what's so useful about a daily practice. We want to be on path. So even when we fall off path, we know how to get back on path and where we're going. We're going to living in loving detachment. We are going to be detached from that demand love, demanding that we're loved a particular certain way, and accepting the mother that we have. The mother that we have is our intuition. It is that great mother energy. That's the sacred medicine. That's the support. That's the wheelchair that keeps us going. So, reality, capital R. We're talking about Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz, Dorothy Gelby and the poster child of Mama Drama Trauma. We have Aunt Em and Uncle Henry, who could not what when Miss Gulch came to take Toto, symbolizing Dorothy's intuition. They could not go against the law, Dorothy. They couldn't save Toto. They couldn't save her intuition. And that is what we save at all costs, because we are what? Letting go. That's why the lawsuit and the deck are all third quarter moon cards. We're letting go at the root chakra. The law card is the law of divine order, the law of mystery and divine order. That root chakra acknowledging it's a mystery, okay? This is divine order. It's above our pay grade and complete understanding. I know I share the cosmic calculus of Vedic astrology, and it's been great for me in explaining exactly what this karma is about. And that, just for me, my soul personality, has been a healing balm. With that, let go, because the root chakra is the hardest. That's the foundation. But to live in loving detachment, there has to be that kind of sincere, authentic connection with the divine and appreciation of a law above the law that we understand. Working with ourselves on that lever, speaking of Toto, who served as Dorothy's intuition, I name my inner child, little Tammy. Name your inner child and speak to your inner child. The inner child is that young part of our psyche that influences how we think and react as adults. It influences us just as the planets influence us. Right now, at this particular time, is the first eclipse season of 2024. It's profoundly impactful on the planet. Even with as much as going on, we can sense the intensification of it all with this year being kicked off with a lunar full moon eclipse. Now, eclipses, contrary to myths and popular beliefs, are not always huge events where we see in the world. But what they do do on an individual basis is offer an interruption to patterns, a reset button, a shift. And lunar eclipses are major releases. And so that's what we're having on the 25th March coming up. It's a major, major release. And depending on where it's hitting in your chart, we have 12 wheel houses. And we're going to go more into simple explanations and illustrations of the astrology in a coming series. But depending on where it's hitting in your chart, that's where the release is going to happen. And so you don't have to be fearful of these things. The more kind of basic knowledge and awareness that you have, just like with the inner child, knowing that as adults, we're being influenced by this original or true self that came into the world, most related to what we conceive as the soul. You know, our intuitive voice, especially when regarded as damaged or concealed by negative childhood experiences, we can relate and we can understand how it has been impacted and how it impacts us through certain behaviors or emotions that mimic those we experienced as a child, you know, causing distress for us, especially as we mature and attempt to navigate in the adult world, since many of us have been so parentified and had to grow up so fast and take care of others, especially our mothers, for our own survival. It's a very unique process. It's a very unique process. So this accumulation of emotional pain and trauma that we carry within ourselves, Eckhart Tolle describes as the pain body. Okay, this reservoir of these experiences composed of negative emotions such as anger, fear, that rage, sadness, shame, blame that we just carry around and drains us of energy, which is why we're often so emotionally depleted. It can be triggered, this pain body, by external events, often as it is, which is why we like to stay to ourselves a lot of times, or internal thoughts, memories, but it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be. According to Tolle, the pain body is a product of the ego, not the soul. So this pain body is this conditioned self. It separates itself from our true self. It's the ego that we can integrate by observing it, but we have to have a process, a system, a protocol of detaching from it in order to do that. So to disconnect from the pain body and observe it when it's triggered, awakened, or aroused, we can then resist engaging with the thoughts on such a personal level because we realize it's the product of the conditioning of the inner child. It's a product of that. It is not the inner child. You know, like if you're a parent and you have to go to work or do something, you drop your child off at somebody's house and you come back home and they're saying stuff you ain't never heard them say before. You know that's not your child, but it is your child because it's been conditioned to this behavior. And so now what do? We observe it. And we engage it from a space of observation as opposed to attack, because we know that the pain body, or we know that the somebody created that system of validation, and we want to be able to identify that separate existence within us, okay, that part that is really needing a lot of times to feel special, that specialness, you know, feeling like it needs to stand out, it needs to be heard. And a lot of times, you know, as children ourselves, we picked up things that really felt like, yeah, that's what I mean to say, or I think that's right, or, you know. And so it takes time to get into this detached space of observation, because we still have this need to feel special. We're not done with that part yet. That hasn't been resolved yet. It's just because we become intellectually aware of it, we're good now. No. Where did that need for specialness emerge from? That need is still there. What was wanted, what is still wanted, and for us, even needed. A lot of times we get into these toxic relationships because we have been conditioned that separate part of ourselves to feel special, and it's separate because what it has forgotten is divinity identity. In order to survive, it has acquired this need to feel special in order to survive, as opposed to claiming the fact we already are. We already are special. But we forget all that when our small child selves are needing to be fed, and it's overwhelming that our cries are not being responded to. Yes. We forget all that, okay? So that's where the self-compassion comes in, and that's where the patience with the time that it takes for us to acquire these abilities and these sensitivities come in, okay? You know, Dorothy, she runs away from her adoptive mother and the farm, but it takes the Twister dream to induce deep observation. In the phases and the challenges that we discuss with acknowledge, it was all about the lack of motivation or enjoyment of the things that she formerly enjoyed on the farm, just hanging out with Toto free, but then just constantly being triggered by Miss Gulch, just picking at her. You know, the incessant criticism. That's not healthy. That's not natural. That's not something that is cultivating a nurtured environment, a nurturing environment, a nurtured child. Self-inquiry, you know, mimicking that self-criticism, mimicking that criticism inward, you know, dwelling on past mistakes. We all make mistakes, whether we're criticized or not, but they can be amplified unrealistically, the shaming and the blaming in order to pull power, to drain power and control us. This emotional drain, this shadow of pessimism and self-doubt that can always be manipulated with highly sensitive people who do not do their inner work of soul nourishment. And that's part of the karma yoga as well. Karma actions, yoga, the spiritual unity of body, mind, and soul. How do we heal it? How do we stay connected with our intuition, with that great mother, Holy Spirit, still small voice that confirms our divinity identity through the yang energy of great father, our actions. So nourishing our soul, nourishing that true self, reclaiming step by step, moment by moment, day by day, that divinity identity. I am. That's Great Father energy stating I am-ness. A dearly loved divine child of the great Mother, Father, God, who is never judged, condemned, or left alone. That's the message. That's the core message of Great Mother. Processing, when we were talking about the low vibrational energy, that self-fulfilling prophecy, that loop of negative experiences that we attract to us, those stress hormones that just cry out to the world, come, come, give me more of this. And it makes our ability, which we all possess, to process our emotions freeze. That's that flight, freeze, feign, you know, all of that that's happening in response to these fears that we have, that our needs are not going to be met. We left off with integrity, those negative moods, the emotional contagion that creates the stress and the bad vibes in the environment, and how valuable we are. Because of not 100% of the time, you know, nobody's saying we're holier than thou here. But what we are saying is a fact is that empaths do bring a gentle energy into the space. That's what we generally do. That's why people are always drawn from us. Okay, and so we have to learn how to manage and allocate that energy responsibly, as we discuss. So here we have Dorothy. She's commenced on the yellow brick road from the Twister dream into Munchkin Land. And now she's mirrored by the Scarecrow, the Tin Man, and the Lion, representing within her own intellect, sensitivity, and courage that she possesses, the empath readiness, ability, and willingness to self-heal. And so she was there and she was like, hey, let's get it on and popping. And they, and the mirrors back to her were like, yeah, let's do it. The integrity suit was the waxing moon. And so that had all to do with the revision, the reflection through those mirrors, you know, that are her fellow travelers on the yellow brick road. So with this full moon energy of resurrection, and of course, each suit has 8 cards, and they in turn have the color of the chakra and the 8 lunar phases. But the overall frequency of each suit is represented by a lunar phase. The Mama Drama Trauma Healing Oracle Deck is a gentle, loving, irreverent way of connecting yourself to your feelings so that you can learn to trust your intuition. Yes, we are divine, but we are also human. Learn to live in loving detachment from all of the conditions that make you feel detached from that divinity. It's within you. You see it in everything else. For empaths with the mother wound, go to mamadramatrauma.info.
There are 3 disclaimers. Number 1, use self-awareness when determining how, when, and with whom you apply this information. It is your responsibility to use it according to what you know is true for you and about you. 2, if you are in any form of mental or emotional therapy or in a doctor's care, though imparted tips, tools, and techniques are proven as effective supplements to formal care, what is offered here is not intended to replace it. If you are at any time triggered, pause the session and resume once you've regulated. And 3, while Mama Drama Trauma Academy specifically speaks to empaths with the mother wound, absolute accuracy is not guaranteed, nor are results of healing sessions, information, communication, video content, consultations, and sessions with me, Tammy Taylor, or anything on the MamaDramaTrauma.info website. All content is created for educational, spiritual, and entertainment purposes only.
So we resume with resurrection. The resurrection suit. This is the 5th chakra, the throat chakra, full moon suit, with the challenge and the examination of negative thoughts with affirmations or mantras to reframe our thoughts when we are evolving, when we are dying to a part of ourselves, like this lunar eclipse will demand of all of us. We have within us, as eternal beings, the resurrection energy. The resurrection suit represents this energy and the unaddressed rage that is still underlying our experience with negative self-talk convulses here. There's a purging here that occurs, and this shadow of rage surfaces at the most inappropriate times to explosion oftentimes. But what we realize is that as we move from the trials and challenges of integrity, or telling ourselves the truth, and the waxing moon phase, what we see with the full moon in Joseph Campbell's hero's journey is Dorothy's descent into the abyss. The abyss of the unknown world. Traveling from the known world of Kansas and the farm to the unknown world of Oz, and now on her way to the witch's castle. We resume here with the challenge and the examination of negative thoughts with affirmations or mantras to reframe our thoughts. That's what we do to resurrect when we are evolving, when we are dying to a part of ourselves, like this lunar eclipse will demand of all of us. We have within us, as eternal beings, the resurrection energy. The resurrection suit represents this energy and the unaddressed rage that is still underlying our experience with negative self-talk convulses here. There's a purging here that occurs, and this shadow of rage surfaces at the most inappropriate times to explosion oftentimes. But Dorothy and her fellow travelers ask Oz to fulfill their wishes, and in this request at the castle, we want to realize that just as aspire, self-inquiry, and processing represented clarity and acknowledgement, balancing and self-inquiry, and confirmation and processing, Here with integrity, we have clarity that the great father castle, the church, the synagogue, the temple, the government agency, institution, religion, political party, or ideology may set us up to ask for what we want and make us believe that they can or even will fulfill it. But realize, when we're dealing with great father energies, others will never fulfill that need. The father teaches us how to fish for ourselves, and that need will never be fulfilled by others, because this, what we're asking for in the castle, is a fixed karma, an internal dharma purpose. We are equipped to heal. And that's why Father Energy treats us like that. It knows that we have within us what we need to get whatever we want, which is why he responds, you're going to need to go to the witch's castle and bring back her broom. Bring me the broom. Which symbolizes the phallic symbol of power. You ain't got no power to get what you want? Okay, you don't see that you got the power? Okay, oh, I got something to show you. You do that. You do that. You realize you got some power. So go ahead, going up there in the witch's castle, and you bring me back her broom here. And then we'll talk about your wishes then. That is the resurrection suit when they go off to the witch's castle. And this is where we begin to see the shadow work and the shadows specifically of trusting our intuitive downloads. Because with her fellow travelers, the mirrors to her intellect, sensitivity, and courage, the mantra of follow the yellow brick road, we are off to see the wizard. The mantra of we can do it, encouraging each other, encouraging our inner self, encouraging our divine self, pulling ourselves into soul alignment to reframe what we've been conditioned to believe is a different use of our power. The power is ambivalent. It is impartial. It's how we use it that determines the outcome, or if we choose not to use it at all. Now, the question is, when is it best to go no contact? When is it best to just say, well, you know I got power and everything, but I'm just tired. I don't know. I don't think, you know, whether I get the power or whatever it's going to make. When is it best just to let it go before you even go through this cycle? Well, you never want to dismiss an opportunity to come face to face with your fears in order to overcome them. We sell ourselves short when we do that. One, because we never know. We end up not really knowing. It's not that we're going to invite and go chase crazy circumstances to meet our power, but backing down to something that we know we have to go through in order to get to the other side that we truly are ready, able, and willing to deal with, we want to go ahead and do that. For that reason. And secondly, we want to do that because all it's going to do is cycle back around. It might not be tomorrow. It might not be next week. It might not even be next year. But it's sure going to come back for us to face again. And so we have to decide when we are ready, able, and willing, what cycle, what phase, what stage, what age we are raw emotionally enough, sick and tired to go ahead and do it. So there are five times in which, you know, psychotherapists say that it's best to go no contact. And one, just to go through these, just so you will know, is when it's just too toxic to fix. And you know that when it's just harmful and draining, the interaction is just always manifesting some form of emotional manipulation, constant criticism, setting and having these unrealistic expectations that erode self-esteem and perpetuate a detrimental cycle in our lives. It's just too toxic to fix. If there's no movement on the gauge, on the handle, on that, on the dial on that, then just snap the dial off. Just turn it off. It's time to go no contact. It's too toxic. The second reason psychologists say when it's time to go no contact is when it's abusive in any way. When the toxic relationship escalates into just outright abuse, just physical violence, emotional manipulation, verbal degradation, or neglect. It's just inflicts profound wounds that deeply impact us mentally and our emotional well-being. It's just important to cut off contact. It is very important to become not only self-protective for your own self-preservation, but to reclaim some sense of safety and dignity within your body, mind. That is a downward spiral that creates a kind of karma that guarantees a return to this kind of lifetime experience. And so severing ties to move on is what creates the space to prioritize self-healing and all of that. Now, when it's too abusive, when it's too toxic. Third reason, they say, when you are denied the trauma you experience. When somebody's talking about, you know, that didn't happen, or what are you talking about, and this, that, and the other. That, we know, we've talked a lot about gaslighting, this, that, and the other. But being minimized, how you feel. There's an environment where your emotional needs are consistently and persistently overlooked, invalidated. Past traumas are just always being brought up and triggered, and this dismissive attitude toward your suffering exacerbating feelings of isolation and inadequacy in general in life as a human being. This deepens the wounds inflicted by the original trauma. And so cutting ties with the mama, the drama, and the trauma is the only viable option to break free of that cycle. Okay? Distancing ourselves from the source of denial and neglect. We are with ourselves wherever we go, but we can have more energy again to consciously choose, actively seek validation and support elsewhere. More healthy, fostering environments to cultivate a new sense of personal growth and healing. Fourth reason is when addiction is at play. You know, the family dynamic is just chaos. It just wreaks havoc in your life. And just the unpredictable nature of addiction often just results in erratic behavior, neglect. So despite any heartful efforts to assist the parent, the mother, the whoever in overcoming the addiction and going through that whole codependent thing and just realizing that the harsh reality is that their support is not forthcoming, will not suffice, even minimally. And the circumstances are so challenging that you can't prioritize your well-being. So stepping back from that kind of tumult and addiction is necessary, again, as an act of self-preservation. And though difficult, these are difficult things, but this is what we are being called to do. This is what we have to do in order to access the greater part of us that has so much more to give us and the world. This is the dragon's chamber, the dungeon that we have to go through. And we have all of the loving support that we need to do it. It's a daily practice to work it, to access it, to do it. But though difficult, these decisions allow us the time and space we need to focus on our healing journey. And remember, when we take one step, the agas take two. So when we seek support and resources and we don't know, we just heard somebody say this might help. We just, you know, tried to do this and we're going to see what happens. We don't know. And going around expecting guarantees all the time, that's not healthy. That's not healthy. That's not how it works. You know, when we start sharing our gifts and doing our karma yoga, it's not like, you know, we've arrived and everything's peachy and boy, we're out of that cave and we don't have to go back to that dragon's dungeon anymore. There are challenges at every level of evolution. Any spiritual avatar we study shows us that. So we best get cracking with learning the skills. We need skills up in here. And the skill to know when to let go and do it is paramount to having any power ever at all. So the fifth reason for no contact is when betrayal and deceit run rampant. And so then we can get into that whole narcissist dichotomy, which is also a mirror. You know, we've talked about how narcissists mirror within us our own rage and our own unmet needs and our own demand love behavior. So this breach of trust and deceit and emotional fallout that comes from this manipulation and acts of infidelity, perhaps financial deceit, repeatedly failing to fulfill promises, sense of betrayal, all of this, if this is something that's being called normal, it is creating a sense of delusionment and hurt, which I know a lot about. And in my experience with this, the aftermath of the betrayal is where the enlightenment comes and where there's a feeling of justification to cut off the ties. But what also emerges is this extreme compassion for the person that you know does not have any self-awareness. They know sometimes on some level what they've done or what they're doing, but they really don't. They don't have the self-awareness to know that their behavior is really causing them to attract the experiences that are making them behave in ways that's creating really negative karma for them. So a lot of times that's where we can feel really self-righteous, is that, oh, well, but I'm being good and I'm going to forgive and all this kind of stuff. We really want to be clear about our energy, how we're choosing to use it, how we're choosing to allocate it. And for me, in the betrayal and in the descent, I have to hold myself accountable is what I've learned. And I still learn that lesson a lot, where I really want to give people a lot of consideration, and it will come back and bite me every time if I do not honor my boundaries. If I do not honor a boundary I've set with someone or in a situation in order to take care of myself, in order to honor my integrity, it always comes back to bite. You know, so if the person isn't ready, able, or willing to change, we have to cut them off. And so does that mean that we dislike the person, that there's a lot of drama, that there's this, that there's that? No, not necessarily. We just do what we have to do. And so what does this have to do with trusting our downloads? Well, with the final four challenges, phases of the moon in our healing journey, where in part one, we nudge negative talk out of our body, mind, emotions, we want to conclude here with how we nudge negative self-talk out of our heart and soul, okay, our higher intelligence. So this heart above energy in our poster child narrative of Dorothy Gale and the Wizard of Oz, we left off where, again, she met these fellow travelers, and going with this higher mind, heart up, we pick back up at this castle, and the symbolism of Oz shows us that he was also Professor Marvel, the amateur mystic she and Toto met at their first attempt to leave the farm. So this transition from the known to the unknown world is our rites of passage. So when we're talking about the intelligence needed to trust, first and foremost, ourselves, and then our intuitive downloads, we're going through an initiation to take our power back from MDT. And we have to go there. We have to have the self-affirmation, just like acknowledge, self-inquiry, process, and have the clarity, balance, and confirmation. The clarity with integrity, with the great father and the castle, the church, the synagogue, the temple, the governmental agency, this rites of intellectual comprehension of the adult world, which is really what that part of the journey represented. Because if you recall, when they entered the castle, they took them straight away to the clean and wash up. They bathed them. And when they came out, the lion had a big cape. Dorothy no longer was in pigtails. Her hair was down and curly past her shoulders, a young lady. You know, the Tin Man was all shined up and, you know, wasn't squeaking anymore. They oiled him up real good. This adult world takes us into this space of empowerment. And so that's a clarity about how others will not fulfill our needs, because we have been anointed with courage. You know, those institutions, the law, the word, the logos of Great Father helps bring it out, bring out that great mother energy, that intuition, that sensitivity. It helps bring out that young woman and that little girl that's ready to grow up, ready, able, and willing. It brings out the intelligence of the scarecrow who was jumping up and down like he was crazy, but now walking like he has a direction and someplace to go now that he has a destination. So the shadow work is when we realize people can only meet us where we where they've met themselves. And so the reflection that they experienced with Oz was empowering. But the reflection of himself that he saw in them, which is later confirmed in the film, was this fractured sense of self between the intellect, you know, the higher self, the emotion, the inner child, you know, and the physical body and who you really are reflecting yourself as in the world. You know, that really took him on a trip too. So we have to go there. We have to look at what we are self-affirming. And this rites of passage, this initiation, this three-part initiation, clarity, balance, confirmation, is typically known as separation, transformation, and integration. So what we want to do when we're looking at our shadow work is the reality, the clarity of things. That's the separation, the clarity that we have MDT. The transformation here with resurrection has to do with this living and loving detachment, this grieving, this letting go, this release. You know, grieving is this love with no place to go. And it's love turned inside out. But when we are empowered and we are self-affirmed from our divinity, it's a love turned inward, overflowing outward. And we see as they continued on their journey to balance that clarity through the resurrection in the witch's castle. You know, how do we transition from neediness and birth mother greediness to receiving maternal consideration, care, and compassion? The kind that we need. How do we make that transition? Well, Dorothy Dowse, the witch, okay, is about self-preservation. We talked about when knowing when it's time to do the cutoff. And so that gives us a good boundary line. You know, there's a difference when we talk about self-preservation between soul survival and ego sustenance. You know, the soul survives. We have many skulls in the ground, we do, as old souls. And the soul survives, and so we can have faith in that. We can have faith in our core belief in divinity identity. It hasn't changed at least longer than we've known ourselves to be ourselves in this body. So what are we going to go with, you know? I'm going to go with what has been working longer than I have known myself in this form as Tammy. And when Dorothy doused the witch, who was trying to get those shoes and really set the scarecrow on fire, her mind, and that's the thing, the constant mental attacks. The constant mental attacks on our intellect. You know, you crazy, or you don't know what you're talking about, and this, that, and the other. The constant, you know, she water, doused her with a bucket of water, and she melted to the ground. The spirit. We have everything that we need. And so focusing on ego sustenance, focusing on, you know, oh, you know, who would I be if, you know, I fought back to defend myself. This is not, you know, what I want to be perceived as, you know, this isn't a good thing or whatever. She was forced to do it out of the love of her heart for someone else. When the witch was coming for her shoes, you know, she was shaking in her shoes, but Toto, her intuition, sabotaged the witch. And, that's why we want to always be aligned with our intuition. And that's what saved Dorothy. You know, through hell or high water, she held on to Toto, and that's why we knew she was ready, able, and willing. So the emotional attachment that we saw in course correcting cognitive toxicity is that whole singular maternal source that we're attached to, now being broadened to that space of observation, because our perception is different from our expanded perspective. When we're talking about the lower chakras, heart below, we're talking about our own ego perception. How we have told ourselves a story of our life experience and how it separates itself from our divinity in order to survive. And thus that internal struggle between our divinity and this wounded inner child that can be reclaimed, but we have to convince it that we can do what we need to do. And that's what Dorothy did when she doused the witch. Her perspective was expanded through this balancing act to resurrect herself. And so this is the shadow work of detoxing this demand love, this maternal attachment to just one form. You know, we have birth mother, earth mother, motherland, other mothers. There are ways that I've learned to be involved with the variant maternal energies to ground myself, to be safe. I do earthing a lot, walking on the ground. If you can't do that all the time, you want to visualize it. You want to open the window and breathe the air. You know, be involved as some type of a big sister, or if you can, mentoring someone. You know, there's mothering that's available to us. Some people are very much involved in their local communities, their local governments. That's motherland energy. You know, there's ways to balance and do the shadow work to transition from this neediness and birth mother greediness to receive the maternal consideration, care, and compassion that we need in order to trust our intuitive downloads. Okay? So this resurrection is this refreshment that decenters our conditioned maternal perceptions and recenters our great mother, our intuitive perspective. And so now we have energy for that. Okay, so let's pull back the lens from perception, this subjective emotional trap, to perspective. Our objective, intellectual, holographic portal that we're already connected to, but that we have to let go of the mother we want in order to accept the mother we have, that internal mother, that energetic presence, provision, and protection that we have as empaths, that inquantifiable internal love that we can appropriately share after we've learned through a daily practice how to fill ourselves and Great Mother's messages, which we're about to turn to, guides us and how to do that. And of course, our angels, guides, and ancestors, the Agas, are very active in our daily practice with the readings and messages. So only we know what our needs are. And see, that's the thing about, again, not holding on to the anger, the realization that really our mothers can fulfill it, because we can't go against the law. Like Aunt Em said, Miss Gulch had the right to take the dog down to the sheriff's office because Toto had been on her property. The law is our soul contract. Mama drama trauma is a soul contract. We have this lifetime as old souls to evolve through this experience in self-love and spiritual independence to have our own relationship with the great mother, father, God. We're quick to forgive others for not knowing and behaving in accordance to the truth. So when we learn to honor, respect, live, and speak our truths, our downloads will be clear, balanced, and confirmed. I act on things all the time that I've just received clarity and it's balanced through my life and my experience. And it might take months for me to get a confirmation. But when it comes, it's like, wow, it's amazing. And of course, E, that confirmation, emancipation, that beautiful lavender suit of the inner eye. When we do this shadow work, we receive that confirmation. We are our Calvary. We don't have to wait for the Calvary anymore. We're it. When we have physical fatigue and emotional exhaustion from inappropriate energy allocation, we can always listen to part one of Nudging Out Negative Self-Talk so that we can release that toxic cognitive conditioning in order to get back to trust. So what does Great Mother say about this trust and how we can know that we are receiving an intuitive download? Well, this time we are doing a 5-card reading, and inside your guidebook, the self-inquiry suit has a 5-card spread that is really all about dealing with people pleasing, because originally self-inquiry is really about releasing that law card of self-inquiry. Great Father card is the law of Great Father, and that's following our intuition, I believe, and that has to do with releasing any and everything that will keep us from doing our work of asking ourselves, is it true? Whatever we're feeling that's making us doubt our intuition and not know whether it's just emotion that's surging in us. So this 5-card spread, we have Nature of the Shadow. And by the way, these are always posted below with the other resource links for this session. So the 5 cards are Nature of Shadow to the left. Next to that is the Present Relationship to the Shadow. And the center card is Work to Release Shadow. The 4th card is Quality to Embody or Facilitate Release, and we have the outcome of shadow work. Now, we go from self-inquiry to using this 5-card spread because we want to know, we want to do the work of asking ourselves, what is it that we're not seeing or we may not want to see in recognizing this intuitive voice, is how we are applying this reading. In the position of Nature of the Shadow is the Law of Divine Father, the 2nd chakra, orange, 3rd quarter moon card. Follow intuition. So the nature of our shadow that may be causing us not to receive or recognize our intuitive download is not releasing any and everything that keeps us from following our intuition. And that's exactly what we want to do. We want to release any and everything that keeps us from following our intuition. That's the nature of the shadow. When we don't do that, we don't see things as they are. The present relationship to the shadow is Coventina. Now, this is a white background, so this is the waxing phase of the cycle. And the waxing gibbous moon card, Coventina, heart chakra, green, purified, detox, reset. So the present relationship to the shadow is that we're detoxing. We are purifying. We are resetting ourselves in order to recognize our intuition. Now, the work to release the shadow of releasing any and everything that keeps us from receiving clear intuitive downloads is the work of synergy. The full moon inner eye card of Gildeptus. This goddess has to do with the elemental synergy of the wind, the water, the earth, the fire coming together and keeping everything in balance. So to release the shadow, Great Mother's coming through and she's saying that if it doesn't land, if it does not give us that immediate sense of clarity, balance, and a sense that confirmation cometh, then it's not intuition. And so the work to release the shadow is accepting that. This is full moon energy. So this is release energy. This is purification energy. And so she's saying synergy is the work we have to do. And that's just owning whether or not something lands. Does it feel like alignment? Does it feel clear? Does it feel balanced? Is it confirming my divinity identity? And the fourth card, quality to embody or facilitate release, is the Sedna card, another light card. We have four light cards, one dark. The quality to embody to facilitate this release is, are we going to be victim or victor? This crescent moon energy, we want to plant the seed of being the victor. Being a healthy empath. We're going to be talking about the three types of empaths. Being an empath who immediately knows the difference between emotion and intuition. Am I being pulled by material survival, or am I being lifted by my intuitive revival? Victor, that's what facilitates release. And our outcome is rage segment, the waxing gibbous root chakra, rage and indignation card that Great Mother said is indeed the root of the negative self-talk issue. The shadow work that we are doing will produce an outcome of being able to do the work we need to around rage each and every time we receive an intuitive download. And contrary to popular belief, not all intuition is this nary fairy, you know, bunny rabbits, rainbows. You know, a lot of times the intuition that we receive is telling us things we don't want to hear. You know, we don't want to hear that we need to cut off that abusive, lying, you know, addict from our lives. We don't want to hear that. You know, how am I going to survive? That's a good question. That's a good question to ask Great Mother. And the messages that we receive and the assistance from our angels, guides, and ancestors is remarkable. It is remarkable. It's amazing. So I hope that has been helpful. and useful for us going through Joseph Campbell's hero's journey from the known to the unknown worlds of divinity and the myth of MDT that feels so real. Of course, we started here with Dorothy's descend into the abyss and coming out through resurrection, that transformation through revelation and rebirth to the emancipation of the final death and rebirth. Of course, this is through the lunar cycle, so we will be cycling through every issue that we have, every relationship that we have, and we come back to the return threshold, which is where our angels, guides, and ancestors are always assisting us with the challenges through that final threshold, which is the center card here from that suit of emancipation of Gildeptus, where, of course, they return to Oz with the broom, having taken back their power, received their rewards from Oz. And at that point, Great Mother returns with our understanding through Dorothy's narrative that we have the power. And she reminds us that we had it all along. That's the Gildeptus card, that scene, when she says, you had the power all along. And of course, after that, the Mother Mary card, which is the waning gibbous moon card, is the card where she clicks her heels three times, body, mind, and soul. Clarity, balance, confirmation, separation, transformation, integration. Acknowledge, self-inquiry, processing, integrity, resurrection, and emancipation. All right. Please feel free to share any concerns, suggestions, or information with us. But above all and most of all, remember, Great Mother loves you, and I do too. Truth in time.